Chapter 22. This difficulty in greater or lesser degree is everywhere. In the case of poor law administration in particular, and also in the case of elementary education, the whole country displays what is another aspect of this same general phenomenon of delocalization: the withdrawal of all the wealthier people from the areas that are specializing as industrial centers, and which have a rising population of poor workers, to areas that are specializing as residential, and which have, if anything, a falling proportion of poor laborers. In a place like West Ham or Tottenham, you find starved schools and an abundant delocalized industrial population, and, by way of contrast, at Guildford or Farnham, for example, you will find enormously rich delocalized people belonging to the same great community as these workers, who pay only the most trivial poor rate and school rate for the benefit of their few immediate neighbors, and escape altogether from the burthens of West Ham. By treating these places as separate communities, you commit a cruel injustice on the poor. So far as these things go, to claim convenience for the existing areas is absurd. And it is becoming more and more evident that with tramways, with lighting, with electric heating and force supply, and with the supply of water to great populations, there is an enormous advantage in large generating stations and large areas, that these things must be handled in areas of hundreds of square miles to be efficiently done. In the case of secondary and higher education, one discovers an equal stress and incompatibility. At present, I must point out, even the boundaries of the projected educational authority for London are absurdly narrow. For example, in Folkestone, as in every town upon the south coast, there are dozens of secondary schools that are purely London schools, and filled with London boys and girls, and there are endless great schools like Tunbridge and Charterhouse outside the London area, that are also London schools. If you get, for example, a vigorous and efficient educational authority for London, and you raise a fine educational system in the London area, you will find it incomplete in an almost vital particular. You will give the prosperous middle class and the upper class of London the alternative of good teaching and bad air, or of what very probably, under tolerant local authorities, will be relatively bad teaching and open air and exercise out of London. You will have to tax this influential class of people for the magnificent schools they in many cases will be unable to use. As a consequence, you will find again all the difficulties of their opposition, practically the same difficulties that arise so naturally in the way of municipal trading. I would suggest that it would be not only logical but politic for the London Educational Authority, and not the local authority, to control every secondary school, wherever it happened to be, which in an average of years drew more than half its attendance from the London area. That, however, by the way, the point more material to my argument here is that the educational organization of the London area, the Thames Valley, and the southern counties are inseparable, that the question of local locomotion is rapidly becoming impossible upon any smaller basis than such an area, that roads, light railways, drainage, water, are all clamoring now to be dealt with on the big scale, and that the more you cut this great area up, the more you leave it in the hands of the localized men, the more you sin against efficiency and the light. I hope that you will consider this first part of my case proved. And now I pass on to the more debatable question, the nature of the new divisions that are to replace the old. I would suggest that this is a matter only to be answered in detail by an exhaustive analysis of the distribution of population in relation to economic standing, but I may perhaps just indicate roughly what at a first glance I imagine would be one suitable local government area. Let me remind you that some years ago the Conservative Party, in an outbreak of intelligence, did in a sort of transitory way see something of what I have been trying to express tonight, and created the London County Council only to quarrel with it, and hate it, and fear it ever since. Well, my proposal would be to make a much greater area even than the London County, and try to include in it the whole system of what I might call the London-centered population. I believe if you were to take the whole valley of the Thames and its tributaries and draw a line along its boundary watershed, and then include with that Sussex and Surrey and the east coast counties up to the Wash, you would overtake and anticipate the delocalizing process almost completely. You would have what has become, or is becoming very rapidly, a new urban region, a complete community of the new type, rich and poor and all sorts, and aspects of economic life together. I would suggest that watersheds make excellent boundaries. Let me remind you that railways, tramways, drain pipes, water pipes, and high roads have this in common: they will not climb over a watershed if they can possibly avoid doing so, and that population and schools and poor tend always to distribute themselves in accordance with these other things. You get the minimum of possible overlap, such overlap as the spreading out of the great Midland city to meet London must someday cause in this way. I would suggest that for the regulation of sanitation, education, communications, industrial control, and poor relief, and for the taxation for these purposes, this area should be one, governed by one body, elected by local constituencies that would make its activities independent of imperial politics. I propose that this body should replace your county councils, boards of guardians, urban and rural district councils, and all the rest of them altogether, that you should elect it, perhaps triennially, once for all. For any purpose of a more local sort, local water supply systems, local tramway systems, the tramways between Brighton and Shoreham, for example, this body might delegate its powers to subordinate committees, consisting, it has been suggested to me by Mrs. Sidney Webb, of the members for the local constituencies concerned, together with another member or so, to safeguard the general interests, or perhaps with an appointed expert or so in addition. These committees would submit their detailed schemes for the approval of committees appointed by the general body, and they would be controllable by that body. However, there is no need for detailed scheming here and now. Let us keep to the main idea. I submit that such a mammoth municipality as this will be, on the one hand, an enormously more efficient substitute for your present little local government bodies, and on the other hand, will be able to take over a considerable proportion of the detailed work, and a considerable proportion of the detailed machinery, of your overworked, and too extensive central machinery, your local government board, education department, and board of trade. It will be great enough, and fine enough to revive the dying sentiment of local patriotism, and it will be a body that will appeal to the ambition of the most energetic and capable men in the community. They will be picked men, to a much greater extent than are your guardians, your urban district councillors and town councillors and so on, at present, because there will be perhaps 100, or a couple of hundred of them in the place of many thousands. And I venture to think that in such a body you may confidently hope to find a collective intelligence that may be pitted against any trust or board of directors the world is likely to produce. I suggest this body as a sort of concrete sample of the thing I have in mind. I am quite open to hear and accept the most far-reaching modification of this scheme. It is the idea of the scale that I wish particularly to enforce. Municipalize on this scale, I would say, and I am with you altogether. Here is something distinctly and clearly subserving that making of mankind upon which all sane social and political proposals must ultimately base themselves. But to put more power, and still more power, in the hands of these petty little administrative bodies that we have today is, I submit, folly and darkness. If the existing areas are to remain the same, then, on the whole, my vote is against municipal trading, and on the whole, with regard to light, to tramways and communications, to telephones, and indeed to nearly all such public services. I would prefer to see these things in the hands of companies, and I would stipulate only for the maximum publicity for their accounts, and the fullest provision for detailed regulation through the Board of Trade. End of the Project Gutenberg ebook of Mankind in the Making, by H.G. Wells. 7 mimic by Gutenberg Edition.